Acts chapter 13. I'd like to teach and preach just a little bit before we get our business meeting going on here. Acts chapter 13. Now, in the ministry of Paul, he had quite the missionary journeys. And through his missionary journeys, he visited some wild places. And it wasn't like going to Disney World, amen? But the interesting thing in the Bible, you have two Antiochs. You have one Antioch that's Antioch of Syria. We're not going to talk about that one today. But we're going to talk about Antioch and Pisidia. Antioch and Pisidia. And that's about 250 old miles north of a little island, Cyprus. And you go across the big pond there. And it'd be modern-day Turkey is what that is. They call that Yalvak or whatever. That's Antioch and Pisidia. And there's another place Paul went to where we're going to be looking at. It's a place called Iconium. And then another place we'll look at tonight called Lystra. And I'll show you a couple of things from the Bible that caught my attention. And they mean a great deal to me. And I think you might get something from the Word of God. So Acts chapter 13, this is meant to be a help. All right, Acts chapter 13, I think we'll just begin right here in verse 14, if we can. Acts 13, verse 14. It says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Now, Father, we pray that you'd bless your word. And Father, you know exactly where all of us are at. And Father, if you have chosen to set us aside for a while and let us graze in this field, Lord, so we can get some nourishment, so we can get our strength about us, Lord, that's just fine. But Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to assemble. I pray that you'd encourage the saints of God tonight. Lord, give them exactly what you'd have them to have. And Father, again, pray that you bless your word and bless the time that follows in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here in verse 15, it says, and after the reading of the law and the prophets of the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren. And it says, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Now that's a wrong thing to say to Brother Paul. Brother Paul was an exhorter. He was a preacher of preachers. And when you anybody got a word of testimony, Paul was sure to stand up and give his testimony. And here he preaches a sermon from verse 16 all the way to verse 41, if you look at it. And Paul lets her rip, and he preaches, and he preaches, and he preaches. Amen. And look at verse 42. And you get down to verse 42 after Paul's message here. It says, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, the Jews didn't like what they heard, but the Gentiles like, that sounds pretty good. But it's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 2, 3, and 4, being applicable to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And if you're a Gentile back in those days, you're still your salvation is by your conscience. I said, in those days, your salvation is by your conscience. That's Romans chapter 2. We just come through that about 4 months back. And what happened is the Gentiles like, whatever you're preaching, man, we sure like the sound of that. Why don't you preach it to us again? And you get to verse 43 here. It says, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So you got a bunch of Jews following Paul, too. You got a bunch of Jews, you got a bunch of Gentiles that want to hear preaching. And so it looks like it's a pretty good thing. And then when you get to verse 44, it talks about the next Sabbath, almost the whole city comes to hear the Word of God. Now we've made reference to that before. Wouldn't that be wild? You pack east, whatever, wherever we're at, Tower City, and just pack it in here, man. Have them back to belly, shoulder to shoulder in the gymnasium, and that sure would be something. But then stand in the parking lot, all come to hear preaching. That'd be wild. You say in your wildest dream. Absolutely. Amen. But look at verse 45. As soon as the whole city comes out to hear the word of God, what happens? Well, you got a bunch of Jews. They get filled with envy. You see that? They get filled with envy. Look at 45 here. It says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. And what happens? Contradicting and blaspheming. So as you look at Antioch and Pisidia here, one of the first things I see is a crazy place. It looks like the Lord's trying to do something in this place, isn't he? And you got some bunch of Gentiles wanting to hear the word of God and some Jews are following Paul. But it's a place of what? A place of contradiction. Place of contradiction. The basic bottom line is they're saying these guys are a bunch of liars. That's what they're saying. They say what they're saying ain't true. Not only that, but it's a place of blasphemy. They're cussing them. Now, you ain't never preached until you had someone cuss you during your preaching. I've had a few drunks cuss me, rub my nose with their nose. It wasn't nothing big deal. It was no persecution, no tribulation. But when you got someone cussing you, it kind of takes your mind off the preaching a little bit. You don't expect someone to cuss you out while you're preaching. But you got these Jews, and they're full of envy. Why? Because the Lord's drawing the crowd. And you know what the Lord told that nation of Israel? He was going to provoke them to what? Jealousy for a people that weren't even a people. So here you got a bunch of Gentile dogs. The entire city shows up to hear the word of God again. And the Jews are getting torqued right off. And they're contradicting. They're telling them they're a bunch of liars. And they're cussing them out. They're blaspheming. You see that? That's a bad place to be, isn't it? It is. And you get to verse 46. That's about all Paul and Barnabas can stand to that crowd. And they say it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, there's a number of turning in the book of Acts, but we're not going to study that. But that's one of them. That's one of the places where Paul and Barnabas says, all right, Jews, we're done with you. We're going to the Gentiles. That's it. Why? Because they wanted to hear. They're the ones that wanted to believe. The Jews didn't want it. All right, so what happens? At 46, they wax bold. They turn to Gentiles. Look at 48. Because of all that, and they're preaching, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And in 49, the word of the Lord gets published throughout all the region. Looks like things are happening again, aren't they? All right, but look at verse 50. Verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable what? Women. Sorry, ladies. You know what I know? After 24 years, I'll get it right. That's the first time I got it right. 24 years of being married, I know how to stir up the wife. I do. Just come in the house and say something absolutely stupid and just send her right up to the top with the rafters and the squirrels and all the rest of the trees and all that stuff. But isn't it interesting who gets stirred up? I'm not here to pick on the ladies, but these men were evil men and they knew how to get things wound up. If you want to get things wound up in your house, guys, all you got to do is just do something really dumb. You'll wind her up in a heartbeat. Amen. True story. 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief muckety-mucks. I'm sorry, the chief men of the city. You see that? Now what happens here? And raised persecution. That's physical. They're beating the daylights out of these preachers. Persecution, not just someone cussing you, not just someone. No, that's a physical affliction. They're beating the fire out of these preachers. They're raising persecution. You got to remember in your Bible is physical. It's stuff that's physically inflicted against them. Raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. And not only that, but what happens next? They give them the boot, don't they? Antioch, the city, is a place of persecution. Place of persecution. And then finally, it's a place of expulsion. They kick them out. If the Lord will let us, I say if because I'm not going to force a thing if it don't work, but I'd like to get that young preacher fellow that's going to Japan. They booted him out of Twining. And they booted him out of Twining last year sometime. And they booted him because he took a stand on the book. Yeah, amen. Now, I'd hate to be his wife and have to deal with the stuff that goes with that, man. I sure would. Because I'll guarantee you right now, as soon as she got in there, as soon as she hung the curtains, and as soon as she vacuumed the floor, and as soon as she got to know all the ladies personal, the devil moved right in there and got that whole thing wound up tighter than an 8-day clock and booted him right out for taking a stand on the King James Bible. But that's how that thing works. It's a place of persecution. They physically afflicted him. And it's a place of expulsion. So Paul and Barnabas, they get booted out of Antioch and Pisidia. Now where do they go next? Well, they go to Iconium. Look at verse 51 first. It didn't slow them down. And they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. Look at 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. After getting beaten, after getting persecuted, and after getting kicked out, they're on fire and they're full of the Holy Ghost. Ain't that something? Wouldn't you like to get a hold of that type of Christianity? I'm just being real with you. I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I'm just saying I would like a piece of that pie. When someone could do you wrong, someone could tell you to your face that you're lying, someone could cuss you out, and someone could physically beat the fire out of you, and then kick you out of town after and during when God's dealing with hearts. And they're filled with joy, filled with the Holy Ghost, and down the road they go. I'd probably sit there and lick my wounds for 30 years. I would. Why? I'm human. I'm an American. I definitely ain't no Jew. Well, off to Iconium they go. Look at 14:1. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue. Man, they didn't miss a lick, did they? I mean, they didn't hang out and like, oh, we're going to call a CLA and make sure that we're okay here. They just went after it. I mean, they just hammered it. They went both together into the synagogue. You see why they both go together in the synagogue? I guess there's power in numbers, ain't there? Notice all the way through the New Testament, all you get two, and they're always going two by two by two. Synagogue, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. You say, why did they believe? Because they're full of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you what, Christian, you let the Holy Ghost fill you. You get a filling. You're going to have an effect on people. If you ever wonder why Christians live powerless lives, and I'll have to throw my hand up with the rest of the mess in the barnyard there, is because we go through the day living powerless lives, not full of the Holy Ghost. But when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 52, and you hit the next city running, the first thing you do, make the house of God, the synagogue, the priority. Guess what? Both those of the Jews and also the Greeks believed. Now look at verse 2. But here comes trouble. You can just remember, like going through the book of Nehemiah, whenever you're doing something for Jesus Christ, whenever you're trying to do right, there it is. There's the opposition. There it is, verse 2. All right, verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against who? The brethren. All right, so here in Iconium, what you have is you got a bunch of lost people stirred up against you. You see that? It's a place where lost people are stirred up against you. You ever witness at the shop? And they get stirred up against you? You ever witness at the shop or at the workplace? And next thing you know, they found every flaw in your character in the last 20 years. You're like, I'm going to live for Jesus. And they're like, no, you ain't. Lost people are stirred against you. That's a place of stirring up, not in a good way. As soon as you try to do something for Jesus Christ, the lost crowd oftentimes, like at Iconium, will needle into your personal life and find every flaw that you have, from punching in 2 minutes late to taking a 5-minute extra lunch break. And they'll swear you did it on purpose. They'll stir up against you. Well, look at here, verse 3. All right, after the lost, the Jews stir up the Gentiles against the brethren there. Look at verse 3. We're going somewhere. We're just trying to develop this thing. I want to try to get you to think about something. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony of the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Now, them signs and wonders are done for those Jews that are there. You see that? It's still a transition period. The Lord is still giving that Jew another shot at the kingdom. And so he's giving them a shot by giving them signs and wonders. You get to 4. Verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided. City can't make up their mind. Sound familiar? Been in your household before? House can't make up their mind. You know, I see Iconium, it's a place of division. Iconium is a place of division. These are some rough places to be in. Antioch and Pisidia, a place of contradiction, a place of blasphemy. I mean, can you imagine listening to some idiot cuss you out? I couldn't. And then you got Iconium, you got lost people stirred up against you, not only that, but it's a place of division. One side's against the other side's against the one. And so you get down to verse 5. Verse 5, notice this. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. So you got both sides beating the fire out of each other. This is the Ringling Brother Circus. It really is. You know when I see this? This place here? It ain't getting any better, brethren. This is a place of assault. Place of assault. Now what you're noticing, this is Paul's ministry. Now none of this ministry so far that we got to represents anything in 2021. It represents nothing that's on the TVN channel. When was the last time you got up and saw someone cuss out Kenneth Copeland? Or someone get up there and persecute T.D. Jakes? Ain't happening. I mean, someone might write some kind of fluffy satirical article on Facebook, Flakebook, or Twitter or something like that. When was the last time they kicked any of them guys out? They're not going to happen. When was the last time there's a place of division on any of them jaybirds that claim to have a ministry? When was the last time any of them guys were assaulted for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Never happened. That's the difference between the Pauline ministry and the Laodicean ministry in 2021. Now here we have it's a place of division. It's a place of assault. And guess what happens? I mean, that thing gets hot enough like a tea kettle when it's about ready to boil, and they run to Lystra. Whew. You know what the life of a Christian is? It's a continually running away from your enemies. You seeing the pattern yet? The Lord didn't ask you to sit there and become a fool for Him just to get your head beat in all day long. When it gets too hot, you might have to bail sometimes. You don't understand that as Americans. You say, I'm an American, hear me roar. Roar, meow, whatever it is, you know. But you know what it is? When it got too hot here, they kicked them out. In America, we'd say, you can't kick me out, I have my rights. And I'd be like, okay, call Lee Free, help yourself, right? And you get over here, they start beating the fire out of you. What we would do is we'd call the CLA. But whenever it got too hot to handle, guess what? Paul and Barnabas got. They got out. Why? Because they didn't want to be in a place where people didn't want to hear it. So they just went to the next place, and every time the thing got too hot, they went on to the next place, and the Lord blessed it. So here he runs over to Lystra. Notice here, 14 verse 6. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they took a vacation. There they preach the gospel, and they don't quit, do they? I'm telling you what I'm learning leaps and bounds just reading simple first grade sentences, one syllable words. And there they preach the two syllables gospel. Boy, they didn't quit. They wanted to get something done. They had some zeal, brethren. You seeing it yet? They go from the place of contradiction, the place of blasphemy, the place of persecution, place of expulsion, to a place where lost people are stirred up against you, a place of division, a place of assault. It's not getting any better. And boy, they're going to go get a breather at Lystra, aren't they? Verse 6, they fled unto Lystra and Derbe and the cities of Lyconia, and there they preached the gospel. Now, look at this thing. I mean, it is on because between verses 8, 9, and 10, Paul heals a crippled man who'd never walked. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? The Lord's still given Paul the signs of apostle, the signs and wonders that were in that transition period. And he leaps up in verse 10 and walks. And, of course, that's a great thing. But when the people of the town see it, guess what? They're so steeped in idolatry, they're ready to accept them as the pre-flood gods. You see that? You know what this place is, Lystra? It's a place that's eager of idolatry. Eager of idolatry. How about this? Eager to accept idolatry. That's Lystra. Bunch of superstitious fundamentalists. And they're eager to accept idolatry. That's verses 11, 12, and 13. We'll read that. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lift up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. You see that? Small g. And they called Barnabas, what? Jupiter. And Paul, Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which is before their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Now notice here in verses 14 to 18, Paul and Barnabas, they blow a gasket themselves and they rent their clothes. this sets them off. Why? Because they're there to preach Jesus Christ, and they see that that entire city full of idolaters are ready to do sacrifice and treat Paul and Barnabas as they were gods themselves. And so they're actually, now look here at verse 14, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their clothes up over the thing. You ever stop and wonder if idolatry really bothers you or not? I'm just throwing it out there for just conjecture. Does idolatry bother you, or does it just kind of laugh at it? I'm telling you, there's something about idolatry that bothered Paul and Barnabas to the extreme. I mean, they're in a different gear, aren't they? They're in a different gear than we are. But yet they're the same flesh and blood that we have. And they have the same Holy Spirit that we have. All right, and they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? Why also our men are like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all things that are therein." 16 and 17 and 18. You see that? Verse 18. "And these things, saying, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice." So they did everything they could, and they barely just escaped not having people sacrifice to them as gods, which have been a terrible thing. But notice how this thing culminates in verse 19. You see what happens? I want you to read verse 19 real quick. They're preaching the gospel. They're taking it on the chin. They're doing exactly what God told them to do. And it gets worse and worse and worse, and finally the thing culminates over there with Paul at Lystra, and he gets stoned. I mean, as in rocks to the head. I mean, probably rocks big enough to bust my skull with one swat. That's a place of stoning. Well, you probably know the story. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 19. "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch." From Antioch, right here, right? Well, here comes the crew. And from where? Iconium. And now what do? They tag team and they stone Paul. And they stir that whole place up and they beat his head to death with stones and they stone him that they think he's dead. So verse 19 says, "Having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." You see that? And of course, I believe that's where you're going to find 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul writes about his trip up to the third heaven. And where he's talking about in the body or out of the body, cannot tell, God knoweth, so forth and so on. So you see that culminates, Lystra is a place of stoning. Now get down to verse 20 here and we'll try to preach. Paul's resurrected. "Howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up." Hey guys, how you doing? Just took a little siesta there, went to the third heaven and came back, you know. "And came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." 21, "And when he had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to..." Are you kidding me? They returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. So from here, he goes to Derbe. He preaches up a storm, teaches, people believe, get saved. He says, "You know what, guys, we got to go back. We got to go back." First place he goes back is to the people that hated him the most and stoned him. And then he said, "By the way, when we're done there, we're going back here, even though we got ran away from there, and we're done there, we're going back to there." And you ever just stop and wonder why he went back to Lystra? Why return to Lystra? Well, look at verse 22. The Bible says, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. And when they ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." Now, wouldn't you say Paul and Barnabas had a real rough time at Antioch Pisidia? Wouldn't you say they had a real rough time at Iconium? It was a bad place to be. Wouldn't you say they probably got hurt? I bet you there was tears shed at both places. I bet you they were physically hurt. No, they're physically hurt here. They were probably emotionally discouraged here. They're also on the verge of being assaulted here. So lest they should be assaulted, they ran over here. And Paul ended up getting with a bucket full of rocks. place of stoning. I don't know about you, but if that happened to me, the last place your preacher would want to go would be back to the place where I got the rock in the head. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm trying to think practically without being a smart aleck, but only way I know how to be sometimes is just kind of brutally, stupidly honest. And the last place you would probably convince me to go is back to the place where they killed me. You got to ask yourself, why did you go to Lystra? Why return to Lystra? So the message tonight, if you want to put a bow on the thing, that's about the only bow there will be, is let's go back to Lystra. Why should we go back to Lystra? Well, let's take our answers from the Bible right there in the text. How about number one? The reason we need to go back to Lystra is found in verse 22, number one. We need to confirm the souls of disciples. The reason you need to go back to Lystra, the place that you got hurt, is so you can confirm some. And that word confirm, that just means strengthen. You ever stop at the place where you got hurt the worst? It'd be the place where others are strengthened. You know, no one ever would have faulted Paul for stopping. No one would have faulted Paul for cashing in his 401k. I don't know what they had. They had nothing back then. And say, you know what? It's been a real good go. I'm done. You know, I've served Jesus the best I could, and look what it got me, you know. And I got the stoning there at Lystra. I'm going to go ahead and check out. But as soon as he gets done preaching at Derby, he says, we got to go back. And the reason you go back to Lystra is because there's some Christians at the place where you got hurt the worst that need some strengthening. And it's this place, Lystra, where you learn that your life is not about you. It's the place at Lystra that you have to learn as a child of God that your life should be about other people. Now, that's a hard thing because we are existentialists. In America, we live for the sole existence of ourselves. We live for the sole propagation of our own family, our own seed, and our own existence. But here, you learn that going back to Lystra, number one, is because there are some disciples that need some strengthening. You know, these disciples will never get the strength they need if you don't go back to the place where you got hurt. Getting you to think. It's quiet tonight. I see that the reason Paul went back was to confirm some disciples to strengthen them. Not only that, but number two, the reason you need to go back to Lystra is found also in the text. And that number two is so you can exhort the disciples to continue in the faith. The reason you need to go back to Lystra is so you can exhort some disciples to continue in the faith. You say, why, preacher? Because some are going to quit. If you don't go back to the place where you got hurt, some people are liable going to quit. You see what I mean? You say, what does that word exhort mean? Oh, that just means encourage. You know what people need from you? They need encouragement. I'll say it again. What people need from you is encouragement. They don't need your problems. They know you just got stoned at Lystra. I mean, not everyone's stupid. They just watch you get attacked. They just watch you get, you know, all tore up. They just watch you get cussed out. They just watch you got kicked out. They just watch you get persecuted. They just watch someone make fun of you. They just watch a bunch of people get stirred up against you. But the fact you need to go back to Lystra because some people need that encouragement. Amen? And the only one that can give that encouragement is someone who's been to a place where they needed encouragement. That's you. The reason you go back to Lystra is because some disciples are going to need some strengthening. And number two, some disciples are going to need some encouraging. What? To not quit. To continue. I'm not talking about the job place, but that's a smart thing if you do. But to continue where? In the faith. Now, if you're not one of those individuals who's on the edge of your seat all the time, don't waste a whole lot of air patting yourself on the back. But there are some Christians that are constantly on the edge. Constantly on the edge. Those are the individuals that need encouragement the most. And just because everyone dresses pretty sharp and dapper doesn't mean everyone's got it together. An old friend of mine says, we're not all here because we're not all there. Amen. Amen. And church is often looked at as a museum, but it's really a hospital. It's a place where we need help. Amen. So the reason you need to go back to Lystra, remember, Lystra is a place where you got hurt. Lystra is a place that you thought you'd never recover from. The reason you need back, number one, is because there's some other disciples at that same place that need strengthening. And there's some other disciples at that very same place, on the precipice of that place. And they need some encouragement to keep on going in the faith. Well, let me give you number three. The reason you need to go back to Lystra is found also in the text in verse 22. And it says, exhort the disciples that we, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom. Now, that's exhorting them to do good works for rewards. That's exactly what that is. It has to do with a reward by works now in the spiritual kingdom of God that will be given to you when the spiritual kingdom is part of the physical kingdom of heaven in the millennium. So what Paul needs to do is he needs to go back and he needs to encourage some people unto good works. He needs to exhort them unto good works. Why? Paul wants others to get a reward too. Paul wants others to get a reward too, unto good works. Why? Because there's a lot of people at Lystra who watch this thing take place. And you know what they're thinking? Yeah, I don't think this is for me. And Paul's like, look, man, if you're going to go on for Jesus Christ, it's going to be a place of division. It's going to be a place of assault. It's going to be a place that's always looking for idolatry to sneak in there. It's going to be a place where you're on the chopping block every single day. But that's through tribulation we enter into the kingdom of God. And that's how you get rewards. Well, let me give you number four, found in the next verse, 23. You know why Paul went back to Lystra? You know why you need to go back to Lystra, the place that you got hurt the worst at? Well, Paul says here in verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believe. Now, the reason you need to go back to Lystra is to exhort the importance of the local church. You need to exhort the importance of the local church. You know what Paul was concerned with in Lystra and Iconium? It was not that they believed like he did, except the gospel of Jesus Christ. It wasn't that they thought like him. It's that the church of the living God had order in it. Because when you have order in the church and you have elders ordained in the church, then the Bible can be preached and saints can grow. And one of the reasons you need to continually go back to the place where you got hurt the most is because there's people watching you. Exhort the importance of the local church. I'll give you a couple more here. Now, a lot of people, when they encounter their Lystra in life, they run from it. And they're like, I'll never go back there again. And matter of fact, most people would call that smart theology. Why? Because most of us, by nature, are not people who like confrontation. If you like confrontation, you're either a Marine or a nuts. Fair? I mean, there's an occasional person that just loves to get in everyone's face. You say, well, preacher, you're awful confrontation. No, it just comes with a mantle. It comes with a preaching. But one-on-one, I don't know, maybe when I was first married, I'm not going to ask my wife right now, I'll get in trouble. But I don't like confrontation more than anybody else. But a lot of people, they think you're crazy to go back to Lystra. Why? It's where you got hurt. And what you actually do many times is you single out that one place in your heart that you will not go back because you are not going to get hurt that way ever again. And you protect yourself. And it's kind of like a little place of callous. Well, let me give you this one here. Go to Acts chapter 16. Why go back to Lystra? Sounds kind of silly, doesn't it, Christian? Why in the world would you go back to the place where you got hurt the worst? I mean, the thing of it is we know the preaching and the storyline where he got stoned, he went up to the third heaven, and now he says he's a suicidal maniac. But still, would you like to go through that again? Uh-uh. Well, he knows he's going to heaven. Okay, but the process, right? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Amen. I love the thought of going to heaven, but I don't like the thought of suffering to get there. And Lystra is a place of suffering, Christian. And in the Christian life, you're going to be surrounded by suffering time and time again. I want you to look at Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. What if Paul never would have went back to Lystra? You ever stop and think about that? If Paul never would have went back to Lystra, look at Acts chapter 16, verse 1. And the Bible says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. Can I say this? The reason you need to go back to Lystra is because you just might get a Timothy out of it. You see that? You just might get a Timothy out of it. You know, if Paul wouldn't got back to Lystra, there'd have been no Timothy. There'd have been no 1 Timothy. There'd have been no 2 Timothy. You see that? And you see later, Timothy accompanies them on different missionary journeys as well. You might just get a Timothy. Go to John chapter 15 just for a minute. I want to show you what Timothy is in type. John chapter 15, go to verse 16. Now, there ain't nothing better than winning someone to Jesus Christ. I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being serious as a heart attack. That puts a joy in your soul that you can't even estimate it to anything else. It's just about as close to buzzing as if I could even say the word. John chapter 15, look at verse 16. John 15, verse 16. You see that? You know what the Lord wants from us? He wants fruit. 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. You know, I need to go to Lystra to get some fruit that remains. You know what that Bible says? Except the corn of wheat die, it beareth not fruit. To get some fruit that remains. Now, this is a real special type of fruit Timothy is, and Timothy's a real... did I spell that right? Yeah, okay. And Timothy's a real good disciple, and he's got it down. He comes from a good stock, but nevertheless, Paul won him to Christ. And brought him up in the ministry here. And the reason you need to go back to Lystra, because there just might be a Timothy involved. You just might get a Timothy out of it. And Timothy is that fruit that remains. But Paul had to die before he got his Timothy. You see that? Everybody wants to go somewhere in the Christian life. But nobody wants to go back to Lystra. That's got a lot of bad memories there. A matter of fact, churches are often nicknamed Lystra. Place where people get hurt. It's a place where people get assaulted. A place of blasphemy. A place of contradiction. And a lot of people don't want to go back to Lystra, but usually it's the time they go back to Lystra that God just has something for them, and they can get strengthened. They can get encouraged. They get exhorted unto good works, and they can find out the importance of the local church, and they can might actually get a Timothy out of it. Let me give you one more. Number 6 here. The reason you need to go to Lystra, I believe we'll find this thing in, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, every Christian's got a Lystra. And that's the place that you guard. And that's the place you never want to go back to again. That's the place where someone hurts you so bad, you sometimes cry about it when you're by yourself. And sometimes the Lord just want to know, are you willing to go back and revisit the place where you were treated the worst? Now look at 3:10 and 11. But thou hast, Paul says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me. How about, look at the three here. At Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Can I give you number 6 here, and we'll draw this thing to a close. The reason you need to go back to Lystra, Christian, the place that you got hurt, is because God is able to deliver you when you return. God is able to deliver you when you return. You see, the Lord delivered Paul when he returned. You know why some Christians never get deliverance? I know you're already thinking it. Some Christians never get deliverance from their biggest hurts and their biggest fears and their biggest disappointments and their biggest frustrations because they're never willing to go back to Lystra. And I say, Christian, be willing to go back to Lystra. God is able to give you deliverance. But you'll never get it unless you go. So I entitled this tonight, Let's Go Back to Lystra. I'm going to have my wife come to the organ just for a minute here, and I'm just going to pull something different tonight. I'll have her just play something softly on the organ, and we'll just take a few minutes. And maybe you need to deal with the Lord on something about your Lystra. I have no idea what it is. I'm just a preacher. I'm just a pastor. I'm not a psychologist. But I've lived long enough to know that a lot of Christians are hurting, and a lot of Christians are fearful in 2021. And a lot of people think that the life is a different thing than it was. And it sure is a different thing, but the Lord's still in control. And you know, the place where you often get hurt might be the place the Lord's wanting to know if you're willing to go back and visit. Go back and visit. Christian, are you willing tonight to go back to Lystra? Are you willing to go back so you can encourage some people? Are you willing to go back so you can strengthen some people? Are you willing to go back, just maybe, get a Timothy out of it? Are you willing to go back so God can deliver you from it? I don't know what your Lystra is. I don't even claim to know. But I've got mine. I got a couple of Lystras. There's a couple of places in my Christian life I've been hurt so deeply, it pains me to think about it. And the Lord's been asking me lately, are you willing to go back? So, let's go back to Lystra. Just take a moment. The Lord speak in your heart. Why don't you speak to Him?